This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The recently released worsening poverty numbers for San Antonio, it should be a call to action for the entire city. One in five of our neighbors, 20%, live below the poverty line, an increase from 17.3% in 2017. That number gets worse for people living below the age of 18, with 29% living below the poverty line, up from 25.9% in 2017. This makes the San Antonio, New Braunfels metropolitan area number one on the list of the 25 major U.S. cities with the highest rates of poverty. What does this mean? How can San Antonio come together and turn this around? We're talking about poverty, income in San Antonio, generational poverty, and we want to reach out to you to see what have you seen out there and what do you think the problems are? How can we turn this around? Because right now we are on a trajectory. This is a trend and it is going in the wrong direction. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour with Lionel Sosa, the CEO of Our Kids Can. Lionel Sosa, welcome back to The Source. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, David.
Michael Guetta is here, the Chief Resource Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank. Michael?
Thank you, David.
And with us also with the City of San Antonio, she's a faith-based liaison for the City of San Antonio, Reverend Ann Helmke. Reverend, good to have you here.
Great to be here.
So, Lionel Sosa, you're known as, you have this incredible resume, that you have been a marketing guru, a groundbreaker. You understand how to communicate. We're having trouble communicating to people what's going on with poverty in San Antonio. How do we explain it?
Well, you know, it is a situation that is getting worse, not better. The numbers will continue to get worse. If there were a number 26 next year, we would have it. If there were a number 27 the year after, San Antonio would own that. Because a generational poverty is not as well understood as it could be. What happens is, let's take a family of three with three children each. They will then have nine families, 27, 81, and it grows and grows with each generation exponentially because there is a bigger growth rate among the poor. And once it grows exponentially, maybe percentages of folks who are, you know, graduating high school or graduating college gets bigger percentage-wise, but the numbers of poor people get bigger every single year because it really becomes a mindset. Once you've been living in poverty for two, three, four generations, you think, well, I was born poor, I am poor, I'll die poor. This is the way things are. And only one out of five of those folks gets out of poverty. The other four continue to be trapped. This poverty mindset develops, and if it's not reversed by proper communications, it's only going to get worse. So mission of Our Kids Can is to disrupt generational poverty in all families in San Antonio by changing the poverty mindset to a success mindset.
Now, I totally buy into the mindset philosophy and that a person is in charge of their destiny. But many, many people who are born into poverty in San Antonio are working up a very steep hill. They are weighted down with so much lack of opportunity. They may be born into an area where schooling is not good. They may not have parents who not only are not going to encourage them, but they're going to damage them. There may be a dysfunctional household. So not to be flip about it and say, you know, all you got to have is a positive attitude. You know, it's not Pollyanna view about, lift yourself up by your bootstraps. There are many, many forces at work that make it very difficult for people who are born into poverty to break out of the cycle of poverty. And the best way to try to change that around is have a community support. So let me go to Reverend Ann Helmke. She is the faith-based liaison with the City of San Antonio. When we talk a lot about San Antonio's having an equity lens, applying that to parts of San Antonio that have traditionally been overlooked when it comes to the budget, but I've heard you talk about a compassionate lens. What is that?
Well, that's also then looking at the systems. So it's related to the equity lens, but it's also then looking at systems and how we're complicit in them, but also how we are the solution within them. So when we talk about like generational poverty and the hurdles and barriers in that, there is a community that's complicit in that. So to be able to look at that as a whole system and to be able to look at components of it, so I really appreciate like Lionel's work with looking at the children. Right? So taking a portion of that and looking at that space and how can we start to change the language? How can we start to change the culture and the mindset? But then in terms of like an entire city or the faith community as well, how can we all come together? So if it's a community problem situation, then it's only going to take community, it will take community to change that whole scenario. So how do we change the community? How do we work together? How do we look at ourselves and assess what's happening in the city? Where are the gaps? And we're in that process as a city. But also then to look, how do we start to build community that understands, say, that even the difference between situational poverty and generational poverty. And so getting smarter about it. And to also believe that the solutions are right there in community if we spend the time.
And Michael Guetta with the food bank, you're a resource that helps people survive the day-to-day who are in food insecurity, but now y'all are taking it one step further.
Well, yeah, thank you, David. I make a comment just on the percent of people in poverty. You know, if you look at the real numbers, the percent is one thing, but the actual numbers of people in poverty, that's growing as well, right? So our city is growing at all levels of the economy, but in the poverty sector as well. The sheer numbers of individuals in poverty puts us about number 13 of the big cities in the United States, just in the sheer numbers, right? So I think it's always just right math perspective. Being number one from a percent perspective is never good, right? Just shows that the number of poor people related to those of wealth in our community, we're going the wrong way. But just in sheer numbers, we're also up with the biggest cities in the United States. So yeah, the San Antonio Food Bank, just to pivot then to our work, just great partners here with Lionel and with Ann, and it is going to take this community. The food bank for many years, I think, wanted to take care first of that food for today, right? And we know that people need the food. We need to feed the line first. But ultimately, you start working on it, you start talking to the individuals in the community, you're really challenged and called upon to shorten the line because that's where the real work is going to happen, and that's what we're doing next.
So it's like treating the symptom, but then we got to figure out what is the cause. Why are there so many people showing up at the food bank with their cupboards bare looking for help? And this is happening in San Antonio. So the bad news is happening in San Antonio. The good news is this is happening in San Antonio, and San Antonio knows how to come together and how to tackle things like this. So we're going to take a break. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. What can we do about generational poverty here in San Antonio? Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about poverty in San Antonio. The city recently topped a list, not in a good way, of the top metro areas in the country with people living under the poverty line, highest rates of poverty here in San Antonio. How did this happen? And it's in a downward trend. It's continuing to happen. What are the forces at play? How can we disrupt this? And how is this going to be done by the community? We just can't point to the city and say, fix this, because this is something that is going to have to be done at our local churches and synagogues and community centers, every block by block, we've got to come together and figure out how can we help our friends and neighbors and fellow Spurs fans to make sure that they don't have to live a life trapped in poverty and their children won't have to live a life trapped in poverty. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. When we went to break, Michael Guetta from the San Antonio Food Bank was talking about programs that y'all are initiating that go beyond helping people with that box of food to get them through the week. What else is going on?
Well, so a couple of thoughts on that. You know, if you look at the real data of household per capita income in San Antonio, go back to 2006. That's a few years back. 2006 to 2017, the per capita income per household in San Antonio grew by about $1,000, from $26,000 to $27,000. Just housing alone in that same time period over those 11 years increased by 19%. So as we look at the problem, I think what we're seeing is we're almost at full employment in a community, right? So we don't have an employment issue. We have a wage issue. And I think helping our working with our companies, with the chambers, we need to address the wage issue, right? Because the living wage for one person with one child, it's about, you got to take home about $42,000. So there's a big gap between what it takes to live here, one adult, one child, and what most people are being paid. So yeah, we've worked a lot on the feed the line, but now working on shorten the line. Many of us are familiar with that parable of the, you know, if you want to give a man a fish, he eats today, and teach a person to fish, they eat for a lifetime. But we're fond of saying that, you know, if that person shows up to learn how to fish, if you don't have the tuna fish sandwich with them to eat that day, they may not come back the next day. So we know that we got to do a both and. And so, you know, strategies.
And also, if he doesn't have a fishing pole and a fishing line and a fishing hook and the bait, right, you know, it does take resources. So people have to be able to go to school, learn how to, you know, learn how to read early so that they can become readers to learn and not learning to read and do well. And then, but the problem is that when you're poor, and you're in a poor school, and your family's not good, and everything's all messed up. By the time you realize I want to make something of myself, you've got a kind of a crummy record, and it's really hard to turn that around. And right now, the way things work in life is that they don't give you a second bounce. Once you hit the floor, they call it a dead cat bounce. You just lie there. You know, how many second chances are we going to give people, and how can we help them? Lionel Sosa, with Our Kids Can, what do we do?
Well, you know, I got I was very lucky to get an insight into the one out of five people that do get out of poverty. What was it about them that got them out of it? Because you can get out of it. I got a chance to study this at Harvard for a whole semester when I was a fellow back in 2001. I interviewed 18 students who were doing very, very well at Harvard. All of them came from the poorest of poor families. And we spent the semester interviewing them, talking about their families, about their lives. And all of them talked about the fact that they had a sister or a brother in jail, a pregnant sister, 20 years old, with three kids, and living in a world of poverty, but they were in Cambridge and they were at Harvard. And so we asked them, what happened? What happened to you that did not happen to your sibling? And almost to the person, they said, somebody told me I'd be at Harvard, and that somebody was usually a teacher. So the very idea that you're going to be at Harvard produced a Harvard experience. What if we could tell every child when they're really, really young, you're going to be somebody, you're going to have a college education, you're going to have a terrific career. What if
you're going to have your own business?
You can have your own business. You can earn $30 an hour, $40 an hour. You are not stuck in a minimum wage mindset. $12 an hour to some people seem like a lot of money, but $12 an hour, you're still living in poverty. You can't have a family on $12 or $18 an hour. So we, in our work, what we try to do is paint that picture and have every teacher in every school district in San Antonio become that teacher that says, I see something in you. Yes, you can. Yes, you will. I'll help you, and you work hard.
Let's go to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980. Nora, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yes, my thought is exactly what he just said, Mr. Sosa did, but I also think that we should find ways early on in schools and maybe even all of us, every one of us, to volunteer in different ways so that we can teach these children budgets, and that, you know, when you have a dollar and you have to choose between having an ice cream or having, it's very hard as a child, but if you teach them a little at a time, they will learn that they realize that that dollar might buy something that might be a little healthier, maybe a little bit frivolous, but a little bit healthier than just buying an ice cream. I think It's small things, but it becomes big as you grow older, and you don't depend on people giving you food. And in these moments that we have, a lot of people show up to food. That's great, but we need to have them also use ways of figuring out how they don't need to always go out and get free stuff, that they can also get help from many of the business community and individuals, retired people been in business.
Nora, thank you so much. There's a lot there. I appreciate you bringing that to the table for us. Reverend Ann Helmke is a faith-based liaison for the City of San Antonio.
Well, just listening both to you and to Lionel as well, it makes me think about all the asset-based research. That's like there are 40 whatever assets that are a part of any person, but a young person's life. And the more of those assets that they have in their life, the more, the higher the probability that they're not only going to survive, but to also thrive. And the number one thing, which comes right back to what both of you are saying, the number one thing, the number one factor is having a caring human being. So whether we name that as teacher or grandparent. I know in gang work that I used to do, grandmothers would often come up, that there was the grandmother that they could count on. And I look at my own grandmother as a small child, and she would always look at me and she would say, you know, great things come in small packages. She told me that all the time. And so I believed in this kind of greatness that I didn't know what it meant. But somebody who loved me, who cared, who was showing authentic compassion, that teacher who said, you should be at Harvard. I can see that in you.
Sure, but that is hope. They gave that individual hope. They gave them an outcome to focus on and a dream to pursue. But to the point that Nora brought up, Lionel Sosa, individuals who are in poverty, when you live in grinding poverty, it's very difficult to break out of that scarcity mindset. So if you have a dollar, I mean, it is $10, $20, it is burning a hole in your pocket. I mean, you're going to see this, it has an impact on you. Impulse control is not good.
That's absolutely right, David. So what is the answer? There is no singular answer.
Shaming is not the answer.
Absolutely not. No. Hope is the answer. And an amazing thing happens when a child is 3-4 years old. When the child is born, a mama and daddy, no matter how poor they are, has high hopes for that child. And my child is going to be doing anything they want to do. They're going to be better than me. And they dream of this world. And that's exactly the time when these messages need to come to mama and to daddy and to grandma and everybody in the house. Your child is going to be this wonderful, wonderful child that will achieve great things. So starting early is the key, having hope set into their minds and then guiding them every step of the way so that they know what to do when they're 4 years old, 5 years old, and that their parents know, and getting everybody involved is key.
I'm going to get another caller, Robin. Hi, Robin. Welcome to The Source.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Very briefly, I think the idea of starting when they're real young is wonderful, but finding what their passion is and getting them connected with mentors when they're in junior high school and in high school, so that when they get out of high school, if they're not going to college, if they can't afford it, if they can't find an avenue for that, the trades are so screaming for kids that are good with their hands and maybe not book interested. And so these kids that maybe don't go to the rich schools will have somebody that's already mentoring them, that when they get out of high school, they can get right into an apprenticeship program, make apprenticeship wages, and go on to making that $30 an hour with benefits, with a great opportunity for advancement. That I think a lot of these kids, they don't even think college is an option for them. And maybe it isn't. Maybe it is. But these other opportunities, they're out there for anybody, and especially kids that don't have somebody that is, college educated, that says you should go to college or whatever. Right. These are people that are blue collar people, that they know how to work hard. They know what that's like, and they're up for it if they're just directed at a young age and find what they're interested in and back them 100% when they have that zest, that drive to do so. And I will shut up.
Robin, thank you for calling in. It was awesome. Thank you for that. And so let me go back to Lionel Sosa again on that. How, because you're working with kids, and not everyone is, ready for, wants to go to college. Well, and college can be a scam as well, because you rack up all these debts, and it's maybe it's not the right thing for somebody.
Yeah, college is not for everyone, but a life where you can live, afford a nice house, have an automobile that you can depend on, maybe take a vacation, send your kids to college, that kind of life is what every American deserves. It's the American dream, and every American can have it, especially at these times of full employment, where there's really more jobs and there are people to fill them. So the thing is developing the mindset of everybody by using today's technology. This is something that is missing, I believe, and can be greatly improved in the educational system. You can have a mentor, but it takes the mentee and the mentor agreeing to come to a certain place at a certain time. But what if you had 500 mentors on your smartphone? What if you had 1,000 members? What if you had
mentors? If you don't have a smartphone.
The poorer the family is, the more likely they are to have a smartphone. And everybody has a smartphone. And if they don't have internet in their home, they know where to go to get on the internet. It's a little bit like Mr. Rogers was, using media to get people thinking well about themselves. It's like Sesame Street, getting them to learn that there's other people, not quite them, and that we all get along. It's a little bit like Schoolhouse Rock that teaches you through jingles how to remember most anything. So using games and using songs and having them repeated every day using today's technology is one avenue that we, I believe, could explore to a much greater extent.
And really quickly, Reverend?
Well, I was just going to add the other component that's available through technology is actually then connecting people and having access to resources that they don't know where to go. And that's one of the things that we've done through the initiative and through the city is create a San Antonio Community Resource Directory that is very granular and in proximity of where people live, and they can find resources, all kinds, from food pantries to medical and support groups online, and that's free and available to everybody.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to also pause for our pledge drive. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation talking about San Antonio's maddening poverty numbers and what can be done about that. How can the community come together and figure out a way to reverse this trend? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we will be right back. Welcome back to The Source, and we are pausing for our fall pledge drive. and we want to tell you about a challenge. It involves Texas Public Radio and becoming a member. If we raise $10,000 in pledges at the basic level of $5 a month or more, we will receive a contribution of $5,000 from some fantastic anonymous TPR supporters. The challenge is good for members of any kind. That's for new, renewing, a gift, pet, your truck becoming a member. That would be awesome. Even additional gifts from existing members, we want to hear from you. The number is 800-622-8977. You can go online to tpr.org and become a member today. And with me to tell us more about the challenge, Kim Johnson.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, so I just got an update from Pledge Central that we are just under $6,000 away from meeting that challenge. $5,848 to go by 2 p.m. And again, that number is 1-800-622-8977. And we just want to talk a little bit about the source. And when you donate to TPR, you're donating to the source. If you're listening right now, you love the source. We're committed to starting community conversations about what's being done to make our city a better place to live. We bring on experts and community leaders to have important discussions about transportation, education, civic engagement, health, environmental sustainability, the economy, arts and culture, and more.
And we tackle hard to talk about issues that plague San Antonio, like intergenerational poverty, like we're talking about today, income inequality, gentrification, housing displacement, things that are really impacting the city. That we're not able to talk about that in just sound bites. It requires in-depth conversation. So we partnered with a nonprofit organization, SA 2020, again this year, to break down their annual report card for San Antonio. Here's CEO Molly Cox on The Source talking about the connection between health, education, and poverty earlier this year.
We've sort of been highlighting, right, these five what we call complex community challenges, which sort of begin at early childhood, move into workforce development. We have housing and mobility, and then, of course, family violence, specific domestic violence and child abuse. And with you've helped us sort of unpack these sort of complex community challenges. And with the early childhood space, we actually begin that with maternal and infant health, right? So all going all the way back to when the baby is in the womb, ready to come out, right? What are we seeing sort of in health around maternal and infant health? And then we take early childhood all the way up to about third grade literacy, which is another indicator that we track. And what we've been seeing again and again is that particularly while we're seeing some progress in maternal and infant health, when we disaggregate that information by race, we see that we have some disparities there. We know that also, one in five people in San Antonio are living in poverty, or one in six people are living in poverty in San Antonio, one in five children. You mentioned earlier 25% of our population in just the city of San Antonio is under the age of 18 years. And when we hear stats like San Antonio is growing by 66 residents every day, we know that doesn't mean 66 new people are moving into our city every day. That also means births. So that population is growing also exponentially daily. When we talk about our community growing by or doubling in size by the year 2040, again, we're not talking about a million people brand new moving into our community. We're talking about babies being born. And just to kind of your point at the beginning, if we can set children off on the right foot, right, beginning as early as maternal and infant health, then we start to see very clearly later in life things changing for the better.
So The Source is here every day to start important conversations and encourage community members to be part of the dialogue and be part of the solutions. But Texas Public Radio depends on your contribution to keep the show like this on the air. So to support TPR right now, call 1-800-622-8977 or donate online at tpr.org.
Listeners of The Source can get a special look at the inner workings of complex and influential systems at the city, county, and state levels, and the opportunity to contribute to important conversations about issues shaping your world. If these insights matter to you, please support Texas Public Radio. Give one of our volunteers a call at 1-800-622-8977 or visit tpr.org and find the red donate button to start the quick and easy process of contributing online. And thank you.
And so this is public radio. So when we put this on the air. This doesn't discriminate. Only doesn't just go to some radios. This goes to anyone who has a radio. Thank you for becoming a member. But also be aware that when you support Texas Public Radio, you're not just helping yourself hear all these issues and discussions and all this great information. You're helping everyone. There are plenty of people out there that support Texas Public Radio, want to give, but they, you know, they don't have the resources. We're talking about poverty right now in San Antonio. And you know, I don't want the people who are struggling paycheck to paycheck to have to make that tough choice, but there are plenty of people in San Antonio with the abundance who can. And you're creating a resource. This is a college education on the air for so many people. We're talking about how you can improve mindsets, how we can create opportunities, how we can turn San Antonio around. And when you support Texas Public Radio, you're making this a valuable resource for everyone. Thank you so much for becoming a member of Texas Public Radio. The number to call is 1-800-622-8977 or visit tpr.org, and thank you. And now we come back to our conversation about intergenerational poverty here in San Antonio. Our guest right now, we have Lionel Sosa, the CEO of Our Kids Can, and Michael Guetta, Chief Resource Officer for the city, for the San Antonio Food Bank, and Reverend Ann Helmke, Faith-Based Liaison for the City of San Antonio. Michael Guetta, with the Food Bank, what do y'all see? What do you see about poverty in San Antonio? Who comes to the door?
You know, I think, David, one of the things that we see that we haven't talked, we've talked about intergenerational poverty for sure, but I think a shrinking middle class. We see people dip into poverty fairly often. You know, we see the data that the average American doesn't have money saved for a $400 repair, right? And so when life happens, a health crisis, auto, a divorce, a move, many things. Right?
Health.
As those happen, people living paycheck to paycheck on the verge of poverty will find not chronic poverty, but acute poverty for some time. And we see that happening more and more. Simultaneously, I think, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, we're seeing more homelessness, a whole different topic, but we are seeing people.
Well, all these things are related.
At that other end who
because
are.
Because people are being driven out of their homes because, you know, and gentrification and. When you're on the margins, the vulnerable population, all these issues of healthcare, addiction, family violence, the housing crunch, this is hitting parts of our population really hard.
We are, but I think what we're seeing in our own partnerships is that the key part that education plays, right? So the pre-K efforts that are happening here in San Antonio, and we're providing meals and nutrition education to those campuses. Within SAISD alone, we're going to put 20 nutrition educators in January in partnership with Chef out to 20 SAISD campuses to help, you know, kids start to learn in an even more focused way about healthy eating and cooking and bringing in that home. And then, you know, just I think there's a bright light at the Alamo Colleges District and all of that Mike Flores is doing.
With the Alamo Promise Program.
Well, that and lots of things. I mean, in partnership with us, we're putting a staff member at each of the campuses to help students navigate, whether it's SNAP benefits, helping them get connected to their own food pantries. We're bringing about $1.5 million in food scholarships to those campuses over the next couple of years. So, you know, I think we're seeing good things, but we know that that's not an easy fix for today. But long term, I think we're on the right path.
All right. I'm going to go back to the phone lines because calls are coming in. The number is 210-614-8980. What do you see out your window of San Antonio poverty? Well, have you managed to escape from the gravitational pull of poverty? How did you do it? And what would you recommend for others to do? Let's go to Michael on the phones. Michael, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Michael Silhaki. I have three restaurants in San Antonio. So I'm an employer of about 50 people, and a large number of my employees are well below the poverty line. I employ a lot of people from Haven for Hope, and I get to see on the ground floor how people live their lives at the poverty level and the kind of choices that they make and the food that they eat and what they go out and buy, how they spend their money. So I've got 3 points. I'm going to try to make it quick. The first is the transition from children into adulthood, that we have people who start out poor, they're born poor children, and then as they grow up, they don't learn the life skills for how to take care of themselves and how to raise a healthy family. So they, if the food bank, if Michael Guerra gave them a basket full of peppers and carrots and onions and a bag of rice, that they don't know how to turn that into nutrition and keep their family healthy and well-balanced. I think that we have to place the education for how to cook and take care of your family and how to maintain a home as important as the STEM education that we're so crazy about in public schools. My second point is the living situation. The development that's coming into town is all geared toward the profit margin. And when developers come into town, we incentivize that they the price for the real estate is the lowest cost in the country. We're very well known. The reason that we're developing so quickly is because we incentivize those developers coming to San Antonio and not to some other city, because the prices are so low and the taxes are so low, and that pushes out the poor people. So it's harder for them to find a place to live that they can sustain.
And your final point, Michael?
For now, our job. The final point is the low tax rates and the real estate prices. We incentivize the low perception of value. So people come here because everything is cheap and they're looking for a 99-cent taco, and then this ripples down through the income level for the poor people, so that I can only employ people at $10 an hour to start.
Okay. Michael, thank you for those points. Thank you for calling in. So to the point about, and so Lionel Sosomi, you can help me with this, there are major economic forces at play in America. That these are forces that are defined by tax policy. There are things that are happening that you may just looking at your kitchen table, but there's so much more going on than that. And who's looking out for the little guy needs to be done at every level in America, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I there's so many people in this city that work so hard, so many philanthropists that are investing millions and millions and millions of dollars and thousands and thousands and thousands of volunteer hours all over this city that are addressing it in many different ways. At the core of this whole thing, in our opinion, is the mindset. You want to teach people to learn. You want to teach people to fish. You want to bring out the talent that's inherently there in every individual. And maybe a kid doesn't do well in math, but you can bet that kid is smart at something. So part of our program teaches them that everybody's smart at something. These are the skills you need to get into college. These are the skills you need in order to have a great job and a wonderful future. Just painting the picture, changing the expectation, and telling folks you can do it, you will do it, and repeating it enough times a day is, like, in my opinion, a good advertisement.
Okay, and so we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. We'll continue our conversation talking about poverty in San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
When Marga Gomez hit the comedy scene in California in the 1990s, many agents were wary of her lesbianism.
All these agents at CAA, they knew it, and they said, this is classic, well, you don't have to bring it up. You could do, you know, what Ellen DeGeneres was doing.
Marga Gomez talks about her latest show, Latin Standards, next time on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about poverty in San Antonio. It is a problem. It is a growing problem. You hear all the great headlines all the time that all these jobs are coming to San Antonio, and that's true. We hear about all the growth coming to San Antonio, and that's true. But you have to wonder about this pocket of people, and they're their families, their mothers and fathers and kids, they're all living together and they're dealing with poverty. The opportunity is not reaching them. Why is that? How do we disrupt that? How do we deal them in to the success and the prosperity and the abundance that San Antonio, other parts of San Antonio, is experiencing? What is going on there? And we can do this as a community. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Let's go to Hudit on the phone. Hudit, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I just wanted to call in because I wanted to just make sure that within the conversation that you're having that you really think deeply and talk about equity. Our system is focused on that. I mean, our city is focused on that word a lot. But really what it means is to look, you know, align all of our systems to address those most vulnerable and those who are who have been, like, historically oppressed. And then until we do that, we're always going to default to personal behavior and inherent flaws, which is really not going to move the needle in poverty in terms of addressing poverty in our city because it's systemic. A lot of times the systems, the different systems try to address poverty by, like, proposing solutions that are really maybe just one aspect of it versus, like, housing or food security. But it really needs to be also a systemic approach across the board, looking at housing, education, land use, food systems, in a way that really prioritizes the needs of those most vulnerable and most historically oppressed.
All right, Hudit, thank you for that. So it wasn't that long ago that, if your last name is Garcia, Rodriguez, in San Antonio, you were prohibited from having certain jobs. It was just off limits, you know. The discrimination was real. It was palpable. It impacted people's lives, and it wasn't that long ago. And it is still impacting because we're talking about generational poverty. It's still impacting people today. So Reverend Ann Helmke, can you add to that?
Well, I mean, I love the fact that Hudit called in and kind of went to that deeper conversation of equity, because I think when we're looking at something like this, we also have to look kind of at the really dark side in terms of stigma and aporophobia, people who are fearful of poverty and the poor, that's holding us back. And so part of what's happening and what Hudit is talking about, though, the city is working at researching and looking at what is happening.
But there was a branded injustice that was active in San Antonio that were keeping certain people down and robbing them of opportunity. And we're dealing with the offspring of people who were prevented from having that opportunity. And we have to wonder, like, how can we fix that today? What do we owe those people? How can we help them achieve the prosperity and abundance that was denied their parents or grandparents? Let me go to Christine Drennan, a Trinity University professor who has studied this. And Christine, welcome back to The Source.
Hey, thank you, David. And actually, I'm following up on what Hudit had said just a minute ago, because I think one of the questions that we really need to ask ourselves is why here, right? Because when we talk so much about personal responsibility and about parenting, which, you know, everybody knows the value of both of those things, why would they cluster here, right? Why do we have this cluster of a lack of personal responsibility then and a lack of good parenting if that's how we're going to understand poverty? And I don't believe that. We have the best parents on the planet and a tremendous sense of personal responsibility. So there's something else at work, right, if we're going to get at root cause. And again, it gets at exactly what you were just talking about, is some of these deep generational patterns where some people were just denied up until, like, within years in my lifetime, an opportunity to get ahead. And so now we're in the first generation of them trying to do that. And if anything, it has to be major structural fixes along with support that literally redistributes money across the landscape.
And so, Christine, just really quickly, I mean, what needs to be done? What do you think as a community, what can we do? Recognize it at least?
Oh, first recognize it. And we have, right? We've started the conversation. And you and everybody knows now what we talk about when we say equity budget and when we talk about the neighborhoods. But we have to keep it alive, right? We passed that budget, but it's but we're not, we haven't kept it alive. We haven't said, okay, what's next? Sure, now we've got money going into sidewalks, but how about money going into social services at a very different rate in different parts of town? And then if we can push the conversation into our schools, because our inner city schools, they don't need to be equalized. They need a ton more resources than schools in other places to try to get these kids just up to the same level, much less beyond.
All right, Christine Drennan, Trinity University, thank you so much for calling in with that. Michael Guetta with the San Antonio Food Bank. Where do you see this going, and is the food bank ready for it?
Well, two thoughts. One, we're ready.
I mean, it's going to get harder.
It is. So 2020 will be the 40th anniversary of the food bank, and I think we would have wished we would not have reached our 30th anniversary, more or less our 40th. You know, we'd like to not be in this business. But as Eric Cooper and our board and others have examined the road ahead, we're very focused on 2030. It'll be our 50th year in existence. But we would like to be at a place at 2030 where we have been able to say we've taken care of childhood and senior food insecurity and hunger, right? Knock that out. San Antonio be the first big city to have those covered. But it's going to take that continued convening. And I think what the professor was saying is we can't lose sight of it. We need to keep the flame lit, right? So the challenge of convening the 10 brightest minds, the 10 top organizations, and Ann started to do that in much of her work as well. That's the path ahead. I think San Antonio is poised because we know how to collaborate. We know how to partner. We might have the highest poverty rate, but I think we have the highest will. And the country is looking at us now. The country is going to look at San Antonio to lead the way. And I firmly believe that we're going to be in the midst of it. The food bank, Lionel, Ann, and many others, the professor who just called in, Christine, because of that and because of what you're doing here, we are going to make it happen. It may take us those 10 years, but we're going to turn the corner and be ahead.
Lionel Sosa, in the last couple of minutes of the program here, CEO of Our Kids Can. You don't have to be the CEO of Our Kids Can. I mean, you've been the CEO of a marketing guru, a groundbreaker. Why are you taking this on? And you're a leader now in this program. I mean, you got about a minute, but tell me, where do you see this going?
Well, I see this going all over the city, then all over Texas, and then eventually all over the country. We have a lot of attention from national funders now that feel that this is a way to not have Michael in the food bank having to build more facilities, but fewer facilities, and that Ann's work gets easier so that we become we don't hold that 25th position. That's not a good position to hold. We can do this because it affects everybody. It affects the rich. Eventually, if we have more people with lower educational levels, less able to build wealth, more incarcerated juveniles and adults, more homeless people, fewer consumers, fewer homeowners, fewer taxpayers, this is going to be a big, big problem.
We can do it. Lionel Sosa, thank you so much. CEO of Our Kids Can, Michael Guetta, the Chief Resource Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank, and Reverend Ann Helmke, the Faith-Based Liaison for the City of San Antonio. Thank y'all so much. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Rospiedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.